pay attention to this very important passage, because we're going to go to the table of the Lord in just a few moments, and we're going to get blessed of God because Jesus is here with us. Amen? Exodus 15. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Well, man, they were having a grand time, camp meeting, shouting, dancing. Instruments were playing. I mean, it was absolutely spectacular. The enemy had followed, Pharaoh and his army had followed Israel into the seabed of the Red Sea, thinking they were going to come back and capture them and drag them back into slavery in Egypt. And God waited for them to get about halfway across and just closed the walls of water in over them. And they were never seen again. Unbelievable moment. And then Moses told the nation to turn around and look. Look. The ones that were after you, you'll never see them again. I've taken care of them, said the Lord. So Miriam, his sister, I mean, they went out and they had camp meeting. They were jumping for joy and praising God. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried to the Lord. Now look, the people complained, Moses cried to the Lord. There's a marked difference between the two responses. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." So if nothing else tonight, this verse is worth coming to church for. Amen? Then they came to Elim, and there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. Father, thank you. I appreciate this great revelation in your word. Now let it engender transformation in us, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is an amazing passage. Miriam took a tambourine. She gets all the women of the nation of Israel, and they're dancing and shouting for the victory over the Egyptians. It has got to be an amazing night. Can you imagine? I would love to have watched this. Another one of those, rerun that, Lord. Come on, play the tape. I want to see this. Where they danced and they shouted and they gave glory and honor to the name of the Lord. But look out after the shout. I said, look out after the shout. Because one verse later, Israel was tested like never before. They're in the desert. The sun has been beating down on them. 3 days into the wilderness, parched, dehydrating, worried about their families and their livestock. Imagine 3 days in a desert and no water to drink. You just came out with tambourines and dancing, and you're thanking the Lord for the great victory over an adversary that had oppressed you for hundreds of years. And now you're out in the desert. It's hot. It's dry. There's no water. And the word shows us that the children of Israel began to murmur and complain against their leader, Moses. Now watch. When you're in the wilderness, what is in you will come out. Anybody alive tonight? I said, when you're in the wilderness, what is in you will come out. Complaining and murmuring was in their hearts. And God allowed the circumstances to reveal their hearts and their lack of trust. And they arrive at a place where there is water, but it's toxic. It's alkaline, undrinkable. And notice, complaining came roaring out of the children of Israel, but crying to the Lord came out of Moses. Moses cried to the Lord. They came to Moses, and Moses talked with God, and he said, I don't have any drinkable water to take to you, but God has an answer here. So when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Now think with me, 3 days, nothing to drink, and God has led us. God has brought us away now from the shores of the Red Sea into the wilderness, and they are running, they are thrilled, they are rejoicing. They dip into the water, and they taste it. And what they thought was the light at the end of the tunnel, what they thought was the end of their trial, it's finally over. We have water. When they tasted the water, it was toxic. They couldn't drink it. Nothing affects your life like just when you think it's over, it gets worse. Yeah. Nothing affects your life and makes you bitter. You think it's over. And all is going to work itself out. And finally, you think, I'm seeing daylight, and the sun is appearing out of the clouds once again. And when they dip their hands to scoop the water to drink, they discovered it's not better. It's bitter. It's worse. Because not only are we dehydrated, we can't drink this. Israel's been tested, and they arrive at the water. And a seeming conclusion to their panic. The water is there, the pool is there, and they thought a breakthrough had arrived. They found water, but it was a cruel joke. And the person believes for healing. The person elicits the prayers of the church. You go for your test results, you get the opposite of what you're believing for, and you go, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. Remember that? It got worse. Naomi said, don't call me beautiful any longer. She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. I've endured so much pain. I'm just a bitter woman. Bitterness, when you've got nothing to look forward to. Bitterness, when you have lost hope. Bitterness, when your passion has dried up. When bitterness has been allowed to take root, you don't want to come to church. Everything is wrong, and everything and everyone is wrong, and you're on edge, and you're angry. And the people began to complain, and God saw them in the wilderness, saw them in the desert. They grew bitter. Was God not seeing the hot sun? Was God not aware that their families were in grave danger? Was God unaware of their condition? He was not responding to their thirst or their condition, or the pain that was engendering. And then God heard the cry of Moses. And God said, angelic singers, be quiet. I hear the cry of one of my own. Someone is crying out for me. And if you desire God to pay attention to your plight, when you are broken enough to cry to the Lord. Job said, I stood up and I cried. Jonah said, he prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. The three Hebrews cried to the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, who had cried to him. And when the devil says, die, when the devil says, you're not going to make it, when the devil says, you will die in this wilderness, there's always one thing you can do. Cry unto the Lord. Amen. There was a cry unto the Lord that came out of the heart of Moses. They'd been led to this pool of water, and it was bitter. They just experienced an amazing miracle of deliverance I mean, it's historical. It's amazing in history what happened at the Red Sea. And there was shouting and praising and dancing. And I mean, that had to be an all-nighter camp meeting. And they thought, we're just going to go higher, and we're going to go higher in the Lord. And they thought that God was only going to lead them into great and good experiences. The truth, God led them there to test them. There he tested them. Well, don't think you're exempt, because you're not. Life will present you some bitter water. And Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? And the goal you've dreamt about falls through. The family member disappoints you and shatters your dreams. That's bitter water. When the prayer for breakthrough you've prayed over and over and over hasn't manifested, it's seemingly too late, you're losing ground, that's bitter water. A betrayal in marriage, that's bitter water. A partner has shattered your faith, that's bitter water. When you're preaching a funeral instead of celebrating a miracle, that is bitter water. And it's shocking how quickly we can go from rejoicing to bitterness. In the middle of this seeming disaster, when all seemed hopeless, when they allowed emotions to trump trust, when Moses cried to the Lord, God showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. I wonder, how did they all miss that tree? If I'd been 3 days in the desert, sun beating down on me, the first thing I would have noticed, a tree providing shade, right? They didn't see the tree because they were so blinded by their bitterness. And when they tasted the bitter water, they never noticed the tree standing there. It's difficult to see what God is doing when you allow emotions to rule, when there's a disappointment leading to bitterness. And all you can do is look at your pool of disappointment. All you can do is look at the pool of your shattered dreams, and you focus on the bitter thing that has betrayed your trust. But there was a tree that God had planted by that bitter pool. They never saw it. They never noticed it because they were too busy complaining. But God opened the eyes of Moses because he was crying to the Lord. And God showed Moses the isolated tree by the bitter pool. The tree standing in that desert, God brought Moses' attention focused on it. And when Moses saw it, God gave him a command. So Moses took the tree and he placed it in the water, and it would make the bitter water sweet. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Here was a great, amazing miracle that God neutralizes all the poisons and toxins in the water and makes it drinkable water. Now, trees don't grow overnight. You're planning for a future when you plant a tree. And somewhere in the past, God had allowed a seed to fall through a crack in the desert sand. And he preserved it. And he allowed enough moisture to condition that seed. And month after month, that seed grew until that sapling sprung up through the sand. And God probably assigned an angel to watch over that sapling to ward off any animals in the desert who might attempt to eat it for food, because it's so scarce out there in that desert plain. And the angel protected that sapling because God planned that tree. And God grew that tree because he knew there'd be a bunch of bitter people who would have to be tested at this spot. And only the tree could turn the bitterness into sweetness. So God allowed that tree to grow. And it grew day after day and week after week. It was not an accident. It grew month after month and grew year after year. And God knew that one day in the future, a crisis would engage a nation of people in that spot. And he had already planned the answer to the problem. In God's timing, they arrived, and the tree was standing there ready for them. before they drank one sip of bitter water, the tree was already available. And before they realized its worth, the tree was already there. Before you headed to church tonight, the tree had already been planted. Before you received the diagnosis from the doctor, the tree of healing had already been planted. Before your child got addicted to drugs or got twisted in the wrong direction, the tool for their deliverance has already been planted. Before the enemy ever attacked, there was a tree already planted. The date of your deliverance has already been decreed. And the judgment against your adversary has already been written. God has already planted the right people in the right place at the right time, so you can do what he called you to do and what he destined you to do. God is already speaking to people you don't even know about. And while you're flipping out and you're getting angry and bitter against God, the tree has already been planted. And what we fail to recognize time and again is there God tested them. And what God is saying, this is a test. This is another test. Trust me. Even when you don't understand, even when you're deeply disappointed, even when you thought it would turn out a different way, trust me. The tree has already been planted. Right now, there is funding being lined up to take care of that need you're bitter about and angry about. And if you've ever tasted bitter water, God says, look around you. I've been planning for this moment for a long time. It's not an accident that you're tasting bitter water, and nor is it an accident that somewhere in the vicinity is your answer. God is doing things you don't know about. He's done them in advance of your arrival at that spot. People get bitter instead of trusting God because he leads us in a direction we were not expecting. But he was working on it before you ever moved to town. And years ago, God knew you would be exactly where you are. Are you listening? He already has the tree planted. The tools of deliverance are already on site. And some don't trust God enough to believe what I'm preaching tonight. God was putting it together. God was putting all the pieces in place. God was planting a tree for your deliverance before you ever tasted the bitter water. And God said, if you'll follow me, if you will obey me, if you will trust me, this is the promise for those who learn to trust him. I'll read it to you. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Thank the Lord. Look at that. Praise God. What an awesome promise from God. If we'll focus on him instead of the bitter moment. The Egyptians had multiple plagues put on them that God brought against them for their abuse of his people. And every time Moses would appear to request the freedom of Israel, the Egyptians would become more bitter, harden their hearts, and stubborn. And they doubled down on Israel. And next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I want to talk a little bit about that, how they doubled down on Israel and made life miserable and worse for them. And God said, I will put none of the diseases of the Egyptians on you. Now, yes, there were plagues affecting them, diseases of consequence for their sinful lifestyles, absolutely. But the worst diseases the Egyptians had were diseases of the spirit. The diseases affecting people when they develop bitterness. They were bitter against Moses. They were bitter against Israel. Let my people go? Really? You think I'm going to let those people go who are producing our pyramids and building all of these structures, and we're just going to let them go? And God said, if you will trust me and not allow bitterness, I won't allow the disease of the Egyptians to come upon you. Yeah, God is speaking of physical health here, absolutely. And I could preach another message on that, and I have. All the other issues that God helps us with and heals us from in our illnesses and diseases. But God is speaking not only of physical health here, but the root of much physical disease comes out of the disease of the heart. The Egyptians manifested these diseases: bitterness, anger, revenge. Let's go get them back. Pharaoh was angry. He was bitter. He wanted revenge because the firstborn now of all the Egyptians was gone. And bitter water experiences can contaminate our spirit, and we develop the diseases of the heart: anger, revenge, bitterness. Are you listening tonight? America needs this kind of healing. No matter what anyone has done to you, intentionally or unintentionally, you are never allowed to take on the diseases of the Egyptians into your spirit, which are bitterness and anger and revenge. And God said, if you will trust me, know I am your source. I am the God of justice. I will fight your battle for you. Vengeance belongs to me. I will deliver you from these diseases. But if you choose bitterness, anger, and revenge, then those diseases will take over your spirit and contaminate you and destroy your destiny. I was reading an article. Let me quote a little bit from it. One of our evangelists wrote, Dave Williams, and he talks about the blockage of heaven's miracles. And he quotes Hebrews 12, look after each other so that none of you, he's talking to the church, fails to receive the grace of God. And watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And he goes on to say in this article, because we allow strongholds, demonic forces can use them to hide behind and operate from them in our lives and marriages and families and businesses and churches and cities. And this prevents us from walking in the freedom and victory that is rightfully ours through Christ. Strongholds set us up for self-sabotage if we don't activate a dismantling process, he says. And he goes on to say, they are mental and emotional bricks cemented together by lies, imaginations, watch out for that one, deceptions, accusations, words spoken into our lives by those you should have never listened to. Feelings, emotions that overtake us at times. And that comes out of our soul. And by the way, we all have broken souls, which means our feelings are broken as well. Counterfeit beliefs and partial truths, where Scripture's been taken and twisted in the wrong direction. And back in the book of Deuteronomy, he quotes, so that there may not be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations, that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood, which is another bitter herb. And he goes on to teach that, you see, what happens is when we start acting out of our old cultural nature, we become just like everybody else. And we have the same contaminations that they do. And then he goes on to say, how are these strongholds erected? When we came to Jesus and were born again, the false beliefs and ideas were not automatically eliminated, because strongholds are cemented with the thoughts contrary to God's truth that we still possess, arguments, are resisting what God is saying to us, theories, reasoning, imaginations, proud and lofty things, purposes contrary to the truth, which means you're self-deceived. And then he says, there are four big areas of toxic seed opportunities. Generational, they come down because they're passed to us by generations that came before us. Counterfeit, which are ungodly or twisted beliefs. Wounded emotions, those strongholds then are built in those wounded emotions. Demonic oppression and involvement, Yeah, absolutely, because demons love it when we get wounded, because, man, they're like sharks. They smell the blood in the water. But the good news is that God has great goals for us. He wants us healed and free, marriages, families, churches, communities, territories, and cultures. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new, past events with progressive effects, not completed in an instant, but progressively. And he says, strongholds must be managed, cannot be managed, rather. They must be dismantled and demolished. And then the scripture teaches us very clearly. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not what we have and possess. They're not human. They're not the things that the military uses. They're not carnal. They're not the things that we can forge with our own hands. But they are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds, bringing every thought, there comes out of our soul again, and before the word of the Lord and submitting it to the truth of God's word. America needs this healing. We need this healing. God said, if you'll trust me, know I am your source. I'm the God of justice. I will fight the battle for you. I will deliver you from these diseases. But if you choose bitterness, anger, revenge, then those diseases will take over your spirit and contaminate and destroy your destiny. The Egyptian disease of indecision came out of their bitterness. They bounced from let them go to make them stay. Back and forth they would fluctuate, moved by every wind of change in their emotions, politicizing their decisions. Let them go for 3 days in worship, then bring them back. Indecision, out of a root of bitterness. Maybe God led me here. Maybe he didn't. Watch this. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Bitterness, anger, revenge, indecision. Maybe God will save my family. Maybe he won't. Maybe God wants me to serve. Maybe he doesn't. When you're in that maybe he will, maybe he won't attitude, be careful. It's a sign you're camping near bitter waters. And the reason you are where you are, God brought you there. And how did they get where they were? They were under the cloud. They were being led by the Spirit of God. They were under the protection of the Lord. And God led them not to a blessing, but to a bitter place. And why? To test them. To see if you will allow the diseases of the heart, bitterness, anger, revenge, indecision, to contaminate your soul. God had a tree planted there before the bitter waters ever impacted their lives. Let me announce to you tonight, God did call you. God did send you to that place. God did place you there. God does have plans for you. And no matter how it looks now, the Egyptian disease of indecision will not take me away from my miracle. I will have it. And when you arrive there, God already knew you would be there. And God never intended for us to go through bitter waters in a bitter place and camp there and live there. He said, I will test you in situations. You will think because you're in a desert, all hope is gone. And the scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when it doesn't happen as you planned, if you won't get bitter and angry, don't allow it to get into your spirit. Notice the result. God said, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Thank you, Jesus. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Thank the Lord. Why is this so important? This is the first time God revealed and ever announced to his people, I am the Lord who heals you. It's the first time. He gives them the first time revelation. I am the God who heals you. He is our healer. He heals all of our diseases. But we often forget that God also desires to heal our emotional diseases of bitterness and our broken soul and our anger and our revenge and indecision, among others. And he says, if you allow me to heal the root of bitterness, he's the Lord who heals us. We think cancer, heart disease, infections. Yes, absolutely. He heals those diseases. Of course, he will again tonight. But disease of the heart is where he really wants to focus at times. Because often people are struggling with illness, but they never offloaded the bitterness. He said, I have to heal my family. They're a mess. And I have a tree. And Moses cut down that tree and throw it into that bitter pool. And when he did, the waters became sweet. And that's what he does for all of us. When we become bitter and angry and flustered at what's happened, circumstances we haven't counted on. And when the enemy has ruined us, damaged us so severely, there's a tree that makes the bitterness sweet again. And he said, drink this water. I am the Lord who heals you. I've allowed you to be tested to see if you would trust me and if you would not become like the Egyptians. And the word says, there he tested them. And God is saying tonight, if I take you places where it doesn't turn out just as you want it to, and if you don't get bitter and angry and vengeful, if you still trust me in the test, the result, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. God never intended that they camp at Marah. He just wanted them to pass through and pass the test. On the horizon was the goal he had for them. The goal I have for you, 12 wells and 70 palm trees, 12 times more blessing and 70 times more shade. So when you've walked through the bitter experience and refused to take on the diseases of the Egyptians of the soul, don't stop in the bitter place. Don't be discouraged in the bitter place. Just on the other side of the bitter water are 12 pools and wells of blessing, 70 palm trees of shade, comfort, and prosperity if you pass the test. So God says, I don't want you to camp out at the bitter place. I'm taking you to a better place. Pass through the bitter waters and declare, I'm not remaining here. I have my eyes on 70 palm trees and 12 wells of living water. And to every family, to every marriage, to every person, when you have come in contact with bitter water, hear the word of the Lord for you. If we will not allow distrust of God when things don't go as we have hoped, if we will not allow ourselves to grow bitter, if we will not allow anger and indecision about God's plan for our lives to enter into our spirit, if we will trust Him, if we refuse to allow contaminated waters to affect us, when we say, you're God and I'm not, where you lead me, I will follow. And I know I'm not to camp here. I'm just passing through this test to a land of blessing. There's blessing on the other side of the testing. Thank the Lord. Man. So when they drank the water restored by the tree, it gave them enough strength to go see where God was taking them in the next verse. The exchange, one bitter pool for 12 wells of pure water. See, wells just keep coming up. There's just an endless supply. A pool is somewhat limited, but well, endless. No doubt now, as they arrive there, some in hammocks between the palm trees, sipping on some coconut water, being refreshed, right? And remember, God restores. He restores. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Thank you, Jesus. Can you trust that? The exchange. One pool of bitterness equals 12 wells of righteousness and blessing and refreshing and favor. The exchange, one broken down tree for 70 trees of blessing coming your way. Anybody ready for that? Amen? Anybody ready for that? Thank the Lord. Yes. And then God, I love the way he puts these tags at the end of these moments. See, because we make bad choices because of a broken soul. We have bad expressions and emotions because of a broken soul. We need him to heal us, lest we become bitter and angry and vengeful and stubborn and hard. And he says, if you'll do what I'm asking you to do, if you'll follow my will and my word, obey what I ask you to do. None of these diseases I put on the Egyptians will be put on you. For I am the Lord who heals you. His intention at that pool was in that test that they would cry to him in trust. Say, Lord, we need you to help us. We trust you. Moses cried to the Lord. Said, there's your answer, Moses. Standing there, I put it there decades ago, waiting for the moment. I will heal you. And the other tag was not only, I'm going to get healed and restored. He said, when you've shown me your trust and that through the test, you keep trusting me, that I'm trustworthy to you as your God. I'm going to lead you to a place where there are 12 wells and 70 palm trees where you're going to get to stay a while and get renewed and refreshed. I want to visit that place. How about that, huh? Where can I find a place with 12 wells and 70 palm trees and just swing from a hammock for a while? Anybody game for going there? That'd be wonderful. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now lift your hands and thank him. Come on. Lift your hands and thank him. And say with me, in Jesus' name, 12 times more blessing, 70 times protection and comfort. If I won't get bitter, I may pass through bitterness, but I won't stay here. I'm camping with 12 wells and 70 palm trees. More than enough. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Praise the Lord.